Just do a little math. Let's assume that these people make an average of, we'll say, just say $70,000 a year from our wallets. 94,000 new people. This is almost a 133% jump. Multiply 94,000 people times the $70,000 a year, plus benefits, I might add. And what do you come up with? And for all that money that you and I are paying to take care of our vets, they're not being taken care of. Nobody's being held accountable. No heads have rolled. There's been no criminal indictments. There's just been more growth at this federal agency with no more productivity whatsoever. 175 days to transfer medical records from the Department of Defense to the VA. They're in the same department, for God's sakes. I mean, you could dispatch a carrier pigeon and it would be there 170 days earlier. And yet these people all have jobs. 94,000 more of them. Not less. There's been like four people recommended for, you know, some type of BS, facade type punishment. And none of them have been punished. All right, so anyway. They spent, listen to this. They spent, this is the Department of Defense and VA, $1.3 billion of your money to build a supposed joint medical record system for their healthcare services. You know, this is the transfer of documents that now takes 175 days. But guess what? They are now abandoning that effort because they couldn't get it to work. $1.3 billion down the tubes, folks. And that's on top of $2 billion. That's $2 billion. The Defense Department itself spent on a failed upgrade of its own system of electronic medical records. This is $3.3 billion of our money. Not to mention the annual cost of 94,000 new people at the VA. And the result is no accountability. Veterans continue to wait. Veterans continue to die. Veterans continue to suffer. And they can't even get their medical records transferred within the same damn department for 175 days. Now, does that piss you off or what? I mean, on every level. All right. So, let's go to the Phoenix VA. You know, the Phoenix VA was the one that was first kind of caught, and then that closely followed by another 50 or 60 VAs around the country. In manipulating records, I guess after on the 176th day after they finally got them from the Department of Defense, of manipulating the records of veterans to delay care, decrease the amount of care, decrease the cost of care, so that they could personally pocket bonuses. Not one of these people at any one of these 60 VAs has been fired. Not a single one. All right. You know, the fact that the VA is so broken, that the Department of Defense wastes so much money, that the Internal Revenue Service tries to police political speech. There's a defense bureaucracy that can't keep track of its money or equipment. The Environmental Protection Agency spills millions of gallons of toxic water into the Colorado River and other rivers. And then even after having the test showing huge lead concentrations in Flint, Michigan, does nothing about it, instead blaming the Republican governor. And I could go on ad infinitum. Is there any wonder why we are so all pissed off about this government? Is there any wonder? Is there any wonder that many of us support somebody that we hope, that we believe, that just might wade into this with a chainsaw? All right. Enough of the soapbox. Let's talk about Merrick the Moderate. Yes, Merrick Garland, that moderate centrist judge that Obama has nominated to be a Supreme Court pick, that the Republicans originally said that was never going to happen, and then they said, well, maybe we'll meet with them, and then 16 of them have met with him, and several of them have gone public and said, well, maybe we ought to have a hearing. I mean, this is this is scurrilous. Just say no. Remember what I told you a few weeks ago about the Gladiator movie, that opening scene? Hold the line. Hold the line. So Merrick, baby. First of all, as a little sidelight, Barack Obama, being the nice guy and racist that he is, came out and he was not kidding. He actually came out in a little speech this week to a black group and said he was sorry about having to appoint a white man. I mean, really? Wow. So, Merrick the Moderate, Merrick Garland. Number one, just so you know, he is anti-Second Amendment. His record, quote, leads to the conclusion that he would vote to reverse one of Justice Scalia's most important opinions, D.C. versus Heller, which affirmed that the Second Amendment confers an individual right to keep and bear arms. This is from Judicial Crisis Network's Carrie Severino, who's a pretty damn good observer, I might add. Number two, he was mentored by the Supreme Court's liberal icon, Justice William J. Brennan Jr., the leader of the Supreme Court's liberal wing. And Garland, in fact, was not only mentored by him, he clerked for Justice William J. Brennan Jr. And number three, and I'm going to have a lot more for you in the coming weeks, he sides with the EPA on environmental regulations. You know, that same EPA we were just talking about. Quote, Garland doesn't come with any inherent skepticism about the federal government overreaching on environmental regulation. That's according, by the way, to Richard Lazarus, an environmental law scholar at Harvard. And just so that you know, this is not just kind of the right-wing or academic right-leaning think tank saying this. Mother Jones, who is an extreme left-wing website, just recently hailed him, quote, as the savior of Obama's climate legacy, unquote. I mean, that should tell you, an endorsement by Mother Jones, that's like getting endorsed by MoveOn.org, George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, the communist government of China, the communist government of Venezuela. I mean, that endorsement's like right up there with it. That should tell you all you need to know about whether this guy is a centrist or a left-wing loon. So once again, hold the line. Write your senators, folks. Take a moment, two sentences. No to Merrick Garland, no to any Supreme Court nominee by Barack Obama. Wait for the new president. That's all you have to say. And send it. All right. We are at 49 minutes and 20 seconds, so I'm not sure I'm going to make it to the litany of facts which point to what I have warned about, one of the few who have, higher oil prices this year. And if not, we will talk about it. I believe there might be a story posted below. I'm not sure. So, you know, there's several steps, there's several levels that go into being an oil, an energy power, a fossil fuel energy power. You have to have the oil, obviously. You have to have a way of extracting it. You have to have a way of shipping it. And very importantly, you have to have a way of refining it. In other words, taking that crude oil of various different types, sending it to a refinery where it's refined into gasoline, certainly other solids like propane or liquids like propane, and of course diesel. So he who has refineries in the end kind of controls the flow of fossil fuels. Follow? Assuming you have the other increments in place, shall we say. Well, you know, Saudi Arabia is not our friend. They are only our reluctant ally. And they have yet to, I predict it's going to happen. But the rial, their currency, they're going to depeg from the dollar. And it's going to be huge. Mark my words, that's going to happen. And Barack Obama has set it up so it does happen. In part by supporting Iran, and of course, we talked about Iran and North Korea. We don't need to go over that again. But you'll be interested to know, in addition to the hue and cry over Saudi Arabia buying land in the southwest and, as I said at the beginning of the show, sinking wells, drying up the aquifers, growing water-intensive crops like alfalfa in the middle of a drought, and shipping them back, quote-unquote, home to Saudi Arabia, they've been busy in a whole lot of other places too, including Saudi Aramco. This is the state oil company of Saudi Arabia, who is OPEC's most powerful player. And they just recently, like in the last couple of weeks, announced that they were taking full control of Port Arthur, Texas refinery. This is on the Gulf Coast, obviously. It is the largest refinery in the United States, folks, and it can process 600,000 barrels of oil a day. That is a pile of oil, or should we say, a tsunami, a waterfall of oil. There's huge strategic value to this, obviously, both to the Saudis, because now they can kind of get in the face of and play more with the American oil industry, which they've been doing for a year. And it will allow them to bring their own crude oil into the United States for refining and selling in the North American market. It's a huge deal. So, there's a guy by the name of Tom Closa. He's the global head of energy analysis and at the Oil Price Information Service. Quote, "Port Arthur is the jewel the Saudis would like," unquote. This is all coming about because Port Arthur, you probably didn't know this, was jointly owned 50-50 by Saudi Aramco, that's Saudi Arabia's state-owned oil company, and Shell Oil. Now, Shell gets a lot of its raw oil before refining from the Gulf of Mexico from platforms. Saudi Arabia, of course, has 261 billion barrels of reserves. That's 15% of the entire planet's known reserves, folks. And think about the instability in Saudi Arabia and Iran getting their hands on that oil, and boy, your mind can just run crazy. And not crazy good, crazy really bad. Bad crazy. So, Saudi Aramco and Shell have not been getting along. They just flat hate each other's guts. And they have now, Shell Oil, excuse me, is a derivative of Royal Dutch Shell. That's RDSA, just to give you a little background. And RDSA, Royal Dutch Shell, owned half of the Port Arthur refinery through a joint venture which they called Motiva Enterprises, MOTIVA, if you want to Google it. Anyway, they really, 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 really don't get along. So they have announced that they have made an agreement to break up Motiva. Shell is going to get 2 Motiva refineries in Louisiana and 9 distribution terminals. Saudi Aramco, as we've been discussing, gets Port Arthur, as well as 26 distribution terminals, and the license to the Shell brand for gasoline and diesel sales in Texas, a rather large market. Anyway, this breakup of Motiva is not bad for your pocketbook in the short run because it gives the Saudis even more leverage to beat up the American oil industry, the American fossil fuel industry, which they've done a good job of doing. But, in addition, it might allow Saudi Aramco to go public. Now, if Saudi Aramco goes public, they're going to have oodles and oodles and oodles and oodles of cash. And I will project that you will see a lot of that cash being spent on United States acquisitions, particularly land, production land to be exact, and other oil-related assets, none of which are good for us. It's the old Trojan horse into the city of Troy. The Iliad and the Odyssey. I talked about it last week. Well, we are at 56 minutes and 33 seconds. I do not have enough time to go into this other stuff that I wanted to. Unfortunately, I never seem to have enough time. But there's several sources that I went from: Daily Reckoning, oil, a tightrope with no safety net, and several others. So we're going to put that on the back burner for next week, along with our next installment of the federal government funding MAS, who then funnel the funds to terrorists, including terrorists within and without the United States. We're going to do that next week. In the meantime, I'm sure we will all be amused by the shenanigans in the various the various contests, we'll call them, the primaries in both parties, and the rhetoric and nonsense that's flying from people's lips, whether it's Bernie or Hillary or Trump or Cruz or Kasich. And hopefully I'll be finishing that pipeline project in the next day or two, at which time I'm going to take a couple Advil and strap an ice bag on my back. Because this old cowboy, after bulls and skiing and wrestling, lifting 250-pound pieces of pipe, wow, it's a good thing I have a good back surgeon, or had a good back surgeon. Hopefully I will not need him again. These have been some things for you to think about tonight. They're all really critical. I mean, the oil deal is about national security and about your pocketbook and your financial security and the security of the American oil industry, I might add, and the millions of jobs that go along with that. This little connect the dots that I brought you that nobody else has, about North Korea and their nuclear capabilities and how that affects and impacts the rest of the world, including those who must not be named, Iran and others who want to do us harm. I can't tell you, folks, how much I really think you need to pay attention to this stuff. This is real live. It's happening right now. And these people will use these weapons. And they're not going to use them out in the middle of nowhere. They're going to use them in suburbs and big cities and events. All right. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Stay tuned next week for, as Mr. Trump would say, our huge show and a continuation of our series of the funding of mosques and other Islamic organizations by this White House, and the funneling of those dollars to terrorism. And I may have some other interesting information for you next week, too, on an entirely separate subject that I haven't even broached with you yet. And we may very well be the very first media outlet to broach it. So, stay tuned. In the meantime, enjoy the spring. Hopefully everybody's enjoying spring weather. Think of me moving that pipe. And yes, I'm working on the books, too, readers. My producer reminds me to say I really am. And I'm quite pleased with them. And I think you will be very pleased with them, too. And be safe. And be happy. And we'll talk to you next week. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.